He's the famous frontman pulling double duty for both the Angels and the Screaming Jets. But even one of the busiest musos in Australia still has to stop for lunch and a chat to Oz Music's biggest names. This is the Oztober Lunch with Gleeso from the Screaming Jets.
And this is our Lunch with Gleeso catch-up podcast, with conversations you may have missed earlier and the parts we just didn't have time to play today.
Birds of Tokyo are going to be on the bill, and they've been setting this country on fire since nearly 10 years now since they've come to prominence. And I'm talking to Kenny now from Birds of Tokyo. How you going, mate?
Good. How you doing, lads?
Very, very well. Now, I mean, I say 10 years, but obviously it's probably closer to 15 years that you guys got together over in beautiful WA.
Oh, geez, from memory, we put out our first record 2006. And, you know, it's a pretty insane ride. Back then, when you're sort of a bit younger and, you know, taking on the world, you think, cool, this is going to be great. We're going to have the best time ever in 5 or 6 years. It'll all sort of crash and burn and we'll have to figure out what to do. But here we are. We're still at it, and we're in the thick of it again, sort of releasing new stuff. So, yeah, it's crazy, man.
I've often commented to Al, there's something in the water over in WA, isn't there? I mean, I could rattle off 1,000 bands from WA, including right back the Dugites who come out here early on. But, you know, Black Eyed Susans, Baby Animals, Eskimo Joe. What do you attribute to the West Australian way of life for punching above your weight musically?
I don't know what exactly it is, but we've always been aware of it. And since we, you know, since we got out of high school, we realised it was such a great music scene happening in Perth, and we dive straight in as sort of young musos and cut our teeth and learnt a lot. And it's always been good. There's always been quality bands, quality songs coming out of there. I don't know, maybe it's the isolation, maybe it's this time to sort of put your head down, your bum up, and focus on what you want to do musically. I'm not sure, but it's still there, man.
2009 must have been a bit of a watershed for when you kind of hit the mainstream, as it were, and started touring. How did touring change for you in that time, you know, from, I guess, schlepping around, driving all over the joint and trying to get gigs to getting into a bit of national and even international success?
And it's so strange, you almost miss it. Like back in the day when we first started touring, it was just rough. Like we would have sort of 10, 15 bucks in our back pocket, enough for like a pack of smokes and a pie, and we'd be staying in, you know, hostels and backpackers and just proper roughing it, but having the best time. These days, you know, we've sort of got our head screwed on a bit of a different way, and you pick and choose your fights, and it's a bit more comfortable. It's changed a lot, but yeah, I kind of miss the old sort of rough days.
We've talked a little bit about the old days, good old days, but obviously you're a all new and ever evolving type of band. You obviously don't rest on your laurels, as it were. Tell us about playing new material in front of people, road testing it in front of people before they've even heard it on a rough recording, let alone on a finished recording.
I think it's good practice. I mean, we do take the opportunity to do that. Sometimes, you know, if the song isn't right, we'll hold on to it. But, you know, there are times in our career where you get an opportunity to play some new stuff and just test it out at any given show, and just do it on a whim sometimes. I think some artists get a bit wary or a bit, you know, conscious about putting stuff up that isn't finished, just the way people can film anything these days. But it's a pretty valuable lesson just to throw a song out and, one, see how the room goes, and then, two, see how the band actually can handle the song. So we do it from time to time. But, you know, you got to make sure that the song's at least playable, you know.
I guess that does go back to the day. I mean, before there was any recording contracts, before there was any album or EPs even, we were writing songs and throwing them out in front of people, weren't we?
Absolutely. And then and it was always such a good gauge to sort of see what merit is in the song. Like, you know, even before it was only sort of half cooked, but you still put it out and... Yeah, it's a great way to test a song.
Now, one of these songs that you've tested, and it turns out that it's tested well, is a song called Unbreakable. Tell us a bit about that and your involvement with the Invictus Games.
Yeah, so we've had that song written for a few months now, and sort of finished it and got it right. So I was sitting there and we were happy with it. And then the Invictus campaign came across from our management. They were aware we had the song, and they're like, oh, God, this is a no-brainer.
Awesome.
So are we okay with this? And said, yeah, of course we are. You know, because as the songs, we've got a few songs sitting there as we're, you know, sort of working it out and working towards a record. You don't know where they're going to land once you put them out, or where best to place them, or who's going to think what. So something like that, you know, it's such a good home for a song like Unbreakable.
Yeah.
So yeah, we jumped at it.
It's not the first time you've been involved in stuff you believe in. Obviously, you use your voice to get behind causes that you believe in wholeheartedly.
Yeah, we do. I think we're aware these days we have a fairly, you know, powerful platform when we do choose to get involved in something. You know,
Yeah. You've
definitely got a voice from the band, and we can use that.
You and me share a bit of a job description, two bands. You've obviously got Carnival as well as The Birds. What's the next little while and next year got in store for you?
We've got shows coming up over the next few months. There's some festivals we've had locked in and some other plays. And then around that, over the next few months, the band will continue writing. So at the moment, we've got a handful of songs that we're really happy with and feeling great about. And then we're going to get back in and around the studio, around those shows, to sort of keep writing, leading towards a record for next year. So there's a fair bit going on. Yeah,
rock on. Awesome, mate. Well, it's been great to talk to you. Thanks very much. And we'll be catching up at the garage session with just ourselves, a couple of other bands, and
a few hundred of our
special friends.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, for sure.
This is the Oztober Lunch with Gleeso.